glad to be here this morning, aren't you? No better place than to be in the house of the Lord. Our pastor was supposed to be at a different place, but that got canceled, like everything else gets canceled. I told him I didn't have to preach, but he wanted me to go on and preach anyway. He likes the suffering, I guess. I'm Monty Brown, and my wife and I moved here at the lake back in July, or actually in June, started going to this church, and my wife passed away about 6 months ago, but she loved this church, and so I felt like this is where God wanted me. And I'm a little bit about me is my wife and I have been married for 49 years. I'm actually a retired engineer, was a part owner of a very large company in Wichita, Kansas, called Chance Coach. Their sister company was Chance Industries. If you don't know who they are, Chance Industries is the largest manufacturer of amusement rides in the world. So I had a lot of fun. Got to ride a lot of amusement rides. Some of them I didn't like, but we get to ride them. And then I had the opportunity to buy into the coach division. And if you don't know who that is, if you've ever been to San Antonio, to Guthrie, Oklahoma, or places like that, you saw the old streetcar trolleys. That was our company. And worked there until I worked too hard, I guess, and ended up in the hospital. And doctors said, we can solve this problem, but the other 90% is stress. You got a choice. You can keep working and die or retire. So I told them, buy me out. I retire. But I've always been a bivocational pastor, and our director of missions told me, he said, we got a church that needs help. It's had a rough time. It's a struggling church. And I'd been working with other churches helping them. And the first thing I said to him, Brother Pat, was thanks a lot. It's a rough church. But anyway, we got to see that church change and transform. We moved back here about 11 years ago because my mother-in-law and father-in-law were in bad health and they needed someone to help them. So that's how I got back here. But I want to say one thing before I start. I appreciate our pastor and the leaders of the church and how they've helped during this time of turmoil. I think they've done a good job, don't you? Man, so I'm looking forward to this all and get back to normal, and I'm sure the pastor is too, that the pews, chairs will be full here and the balcony be filled. Amen? Well, I'm going to preach this morning out of a book that I've been studying for some time. I preached a message from it a few weeks ago. But it's out of the book of Revelation. I want to look at verse 8, chapter 1. And if you want to give a title to that message, it's, He's My God. The book of Revelation has been one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misrepresented of all the Word of God. You know, saying all this, it's probably the most amazing book in the Bible. Because in that, we see mystery, wonder, excitement, drama, even horror. And I thought as I read this and studied it, there's got to be a lot more to it. There's a message here for the church. It's not all negative. It's all good. So my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has an outstanding personality. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Think about that, the beginning and the end. That means everything that we touch, taste, see, smell, or hear has been created by Him. He's our Lord and Savior, and He's my most important part of my life. You know, I struggle staying on track, not allowing the things of the world to derail me. And believe me, there's a lot of things out there that'll pull you away from God. Seeing all this, my message, He's my God. I want to share with you this morning out of Micah, the 7th chapter, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Who is this that my God like? Pardon iniquities, passing our transgressions, a remnant of our His heritage. He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast our sins to the depth of the sea." The book of Revelation is about the past, the present, the future, and everlasting. It's the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing for those that read it and study it and hear it. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 12, it says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of dead, but of the living." That's my God. If you've got chapter 1, verse 8, I want you to please stand and honor the Word of God. And follow along with me as I read this verse. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be accepted on Thy sight, O Lord. And I pray that we might be able to walk away from this service this morning, and those that are watching on the video, Father, that they would be able to be thrilled to know that they've been in the presence of God. Now be with us, guide and direct us, for I ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and Omega. Well, that's my God. Let me tell you about my God. The world does not understand Him. The world cannot stop Him. The world could not kill Him, and the grave could not hold Him. Hell could not handle Him, and the world cannot stop His return. Scriptures declare to us that He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is He? And who was? And who is to come? For He is the Almighty. Well, that's my God. He's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, which in the Greek has a number value of 1. And He's the last letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega, which literally means great. He's the first letter of the English alphabet, A. And He's the last letter of the English alphabet, Z. That means that He is everything. That's my God. Well, do you know Him? Do you know my God? My God pardons all my iniquities. To pardon, to forgive, to free, and from punishment. When God pardons our iniquities, He frees us from the sins, because the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Psalms 32:2 says, tells us, "Blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity." What other God can pardon my iniquities? There is none. Only the Alpha and the Omega. Well, do you know my God? Do you know Him? For He pardons your iniquities. My God forgives our transgressions. That's my God. Our transgressions are rebellion towards God. And believe me, if you'll be honest with yourself, and I'll be honest with me, we all have transgressions. What other God will overlook our rebellion? None. All the other gods of the world, guess what? They're still in their grave. He's the only resurrected God. What other God will overlook our rebellions? None. Psalms 32:1 says, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Right. Well, do you know my God? You can know him, and he'll forgive you of your transgressions. No matter how bad you are, he'll forgive you. Right. You see, my God is a God that pardons our iniquities, because he's the Alpha and Omega. He's my God that forgives our transgressions, because he's a transgression forgiver. My God retains not anger against me. That's my God. He is not a God who keeps his anger stored up. I don't know how the Muslims even tolerate their God. They have. He don't like them, he don't love them, and he don't guarantee him eternal life. And he thinks women are nothing more than animals to be served. That's a horrible God. Oh, by the way, he's a moon god. That's who he was. There are a lot of gods in this world. Nehemiah 9:17 says, they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to your bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Well, the nation of Israel had really got bad. Nehemiah came there, and that's a message all itself. It's an awesome message. The book of Nehemiah is one of my favorite books. And the best chapter of Nehemiah is chapter 3, and you won't find any commentaries on it. But it's a powerful, powerful message. God loved the nation of Israel. He still does. He loves us. Is there any other God ready to pardon our sins? Who is gracious and merciful? Who is abundant in kindness? Who is slow to anger? There is none. See, there's only one God that can do all that. That's my God. And I hope he's your God. Because he's slow to anger. You see, my God pardons my iniquities. Because he's my Alpha and Omega who can. My God forgives my transgressions. Because he's a transgression forgiver. My God retains not his anger against me because he's slow to anger. My God delights in mercy. That's my God, delights in mercy. Contrary to what the world tells us about God, he does delight more in mercy, and he does not delight in persecution. God gets more pleasure in showing loving kindness towards us. For his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy never stops. He will show it to us forever. 1 Peter 1:3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy is regarding us again to living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, his mercy endures forever because his mercy is abundant mercy. Abundant mercy. Well, do you know my God? Do you know the fact that he delights in mercy? and he wants to give it to you. I witnessed to a man years ago that said, well, I got to get right first before I can get saved. No, it don't work that way. God loves us like we are and wants to forgive us of our sins. He wants to show us mercy. You see, my God has compassion upon me. That's my God. He has compassion on me. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. The Alpha and Omega is full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in mercy and in truth. That's in Psalms. There is no other God that's full of compassion. No other God is full of grace. No other God is long-suffering. No other God that shows mercy, and no other God that has truth. There is no other God that loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's ultimate love. That's what my God is, full of ultimate love. My God subdues my iniquities. That's my God. Not only does God pardon our iniquities, but he will subdue them. Tread them down. Wow, that's powerful. It's like smashing them under his feet. Acts 3:26 says, to the first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from your iniquities. That's ultimate victory. That's my God. And I'd ask you, do you know him today? Do you know him? You see, my God cast my iniquities into the sea. Do we understand what that means? Once he casts them into the depths of the sea, he remembers them no more. But you know what Satan does? He finds out where God buried them and he tries to pull them up and say, look, here, what you've done. Don't listen to him, because he will deceive you into believing that you're a failure. By the way, Satan is well and alive on planet Earth. And his demonic spirits are hovering over us today. I believe with all my heart that every person in here that's a child of God has an angel assigned to them. But I also believe that Satan has assigned a demon to weaken you. And sometimes I wonder if not the empty pews and empty chairs in our church are filled with demonic spirits, trying to stop the church from growing. You ever notice that when a church begins to grow and things begin to happen, trouble comes? It's not that person in the church that's causing problems. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers in high places. That's the enemy trying to destroy what is good. He does a pretty good job. You see, the Alpha and Omega takes away our iniquities and casts them into the depths of the sea. Micah 17:9 said, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue us and will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Do we understand what that means? The depth of the sea is 36 miles deep. And guess what? Mankind has never been able to get to the depths of the sea, and does not know what lies within the depths of that sea. That's pretty deep. The Bible says he cast our sins as far as the east is the west. You can keep going east and you'll never find the west. You see, other reference says, as far as the east from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. That's ultimate forgiveness. That's my God. Well, do you know him? Do you know my God? You know that he can cast those iniquities as far as east is from the west and never remember them no more? Are you ready to meet the Lord today? There's a lot of people in church aren't ready. There's a lot of people playing church. I'm one of them. I did it for a long time. I played church. I thought I was a good church member. But you know what? I admitted that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Satan does too. I believe that he forgave me of my sins and my iniquities. Satan does too. But where most fail is to confess. No, with your mouth openly that you're a sinner, you're worthless, you're no good, and you ask God to forgive you all of your sins. Satan won't do that. We have to ask him to forgive us of our sins, and he cleanses from all unrighteousness and gives us eternal life. Well, do you know my God? You can have a God that pardons your iniquities. Did you know that? You can have a God that forgives you of your transgressions. You can have a God that retains not his anger against you. You can have a God that delights in mercy. You can have a God that has compassion upon you. And you can have a God that subdues your iniquities. And you can have a God that casts those iniquities into the sea. You know, as we have a time of preparing for an invitation, and I believe every church should have an invitation every time the doors open, there ought to be an opportunity for someone to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some that are watching on live stream video that may need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I would say that the altar is always opened for someone to be saved, rededicate their life, be scripturally baptized, join the church, maybe even surrender to special services. You can have that God today. And as I offer up that invitation this morning, I'd ask you all to stand and to remember one thing about the invitation of the church. It's not the closing, but the beginning. And this altar is for us to pray at and to lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be saved, to rededicate our lives, to be part of the church, or come down and pray for a lost friend or family member. And one of the biggest mistakes I see in the church today is this. That carpet's not wore out down here. It needs to be wore out, folks, because that's where the power is. So I'd have you come this morning and ask God to pardon your iniquities. Forgive your transgressions. To come to a God that's slow to anger, that has abundant mercy, that shows ultimate love, that has ultimate victory, and has ultimate forgiveness. Do you know him today? Do not let him pass you by. Put Jesus in your heart. Forget about your pride. Don't say, well, I'm a church member, I got it made. No, you don't. Well, my parents were church members, that don't help either. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Church of Christ, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Pentecostal. Let me tell you something about that sign that you wear. It's either going to fall off going up or burn off going down.
That's it.
That don't get you. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You come, if God's speaking to your heart, to be saved. Rededicate your life, join the church, be scripturally baptized, or surrender to special service. You come this morning if God's speaking to you. You come.